I invite you to turn with me, please, to Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. Do you know someone who claims to be saved but does not seem to be saved? How many know someone like that? Okay. Different question. How many of you have worked with a young person or adult helping them to gain biblical assurance of their salvation? How many of you have helped, sometimes our own children, right? What a privilege, what a blessing. That's what I think is happening here in the first seven verses of Acts 19. The title is God's Word in Ephesus, though we'll just look at part of this evening. The Apostle Paul comes to Ephesus in his third missionary journey, and he finds disciples and he informs them. He corrects their understanding. Then he goes into the synagogue and he evangelizes them in the synagogue. They weren't so happy with him, so he left and brought the disciples out of the synagogue and started teaching in a school where he instructed. So he informed with the word, he evangelized with the word, and he instructed with the word. And isn't God's word useful to approach any number of people in their situations and profitable for correcting and helping them to grow? So we know that. Let's look at that this evening. Essentially, the theme, I think, of this passage could be God's word is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And correction is the one that stands out in verses 1 to 7. He informed certain men, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Can I invite you to turn back with me to your Bible maps just for a minute? See if you can find, if you have a Bible maps. If you don't, sorry about that. I don't have a visual aid for you. Paul's missionary journeys. If you find Ephesus, the Apostle Paul came through the upper country down to Ephesus, and Apollos had been there, but he went west across the Aegean Sea to Corinth. All right, so Ephesus, Corinth, and we've been in Thessalonians north of there. And in Philippians on Wednesday night. So this is the area, the region of a study that we're working on these Sundays and Wednesdays. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Apollos had been in Ephesus, but he went over to Corinth. Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. He said unto them, and we have a little question and answer going back and forth. He says unto these disciples, have ye received the Holy Ghost since you believed, or when you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Anybody have any uncertainty about this group yet? They were called disciples. Paul uses the word believed in his question. They have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit. My question is, perhaps like yours, are they saved? I come away with, I don't know. That's my best answer. You might have a better one at this point. But it's profound, nonetheless, that there's some uncertainty here. And by the way, that uncertainty gets replaced in this passage with great certainty. Paul asked the question. They didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, another question and answer. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto him, unto John's baptism. Well, this correlates with Apollos. All right? So these people knew about John the Baptist, and some of his teaching, not all of it, clearly, and I'll show you why I say that. They appeared to be disciples, at least in appearance. But let's go back to chapter 18 for a little glimpse of Apollos. Verse 24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, we were here recently, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing what? Only the baptism of John. So like these 12 in chapter 19, Apollos, though more informed and educated in the way of the Lord, was less than totally informed and up to date with the transition of Christ's resurrection and these various things. Apollos gets informed in verse 26 by Aquila and Priscilla. Back to 19 in verse 3. He said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then Paul shares this statement in verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So he informs them from the word, be it written where the gospel is written at that time or spoken and transferred to him. Paul is speaking to them and he is saying John's baptism was about repentance. And by the way, there's something here. If anybody has studied this out, I'd be curious to talk with you later. I don't know that John in the Gospels talks about believing at his baptismal in his baptismal teachings. But it's mentioned here. I'm not sure what to make of that, but I find it interesting that Paul said John barely baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him. This is what John said, taught, but we don't see that relative, in the gospel. So far as I know, believe on him which should come after them, that is on Christ Jesus. Repentance saying, believe on Christ Jesus. Go with me to John's teaching in Luke 3, please. Luke 3:16. These individuals said they didn't know about the Holy Spirit. Luke 3:16. Says, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Just about every other place, if not every other place, you see John the Baptist talking about baptism. He mentions this being baptized by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. So these individuals, not knowing about the Holy Spirit, were uninformed, largely. John 1, you can remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus baptized, he was given a sign by the Father that he would see the Spirit descending on and identifying Jesus Christ. And he did see that at Christ's baptism. So the Spirit of God was taught about by John, yet these didn't know. Verse 5, Acts 19:5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then the Spirit of God came, and when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. You know, this reminds us of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came. There were flames of fire over the disciples, and they spoke in tongues, and it was amazingly powerful, this display of the coming, the first coming in this way of the Spirit of God into the church, initiating the beginning of the church. Cornelius had a similar experience, hearing the Word of God preached and those in his house. The Spirit of God came and responded in the same way. There's another closer similarity in Acts 8, if you'd like to go there with me, to Acts 19. This is a little closer in similarity to Acts 19. Philip's ministry in Samaria. Acts 8:14, please. Acts 8:14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. An interesting way in the early days, we understand a different than now, and certainly different than soon after this, the Spirit of God came. Since these early days in the New Testament time, we understand Scripture to teach that the Holy Spirit indwells at the point of salvation. But here, this in this transitional time, we see some comparisons and find it interesting to make those comparisons. These 12 men, I find interesting. They were very teachable. They were very interested in what Paul had to say and teach them. They were very welcoming to his teaching, and they were very uninformed. All of that goes together to just make you puzzle. For those who are interested in hearing the experiences that you just shared with us, Nick, how can I be saved? You know, uninformed, but very willing. So this would evidence that God is working in their lives. And when we find people on occasion like that, that are interested in hearing more about Christ, that are willing and maybe even to a set of studies, of Bible studies over time. What a joy and what a thrill it is. And it certainly seems to be that God is working and bringing them to the place where we can bring the word. So I have this timeline at the top of my notes. It goes like this. Were these men believers at the beginning of chapter 19? And I have a big question mark right there. Frankly, I don't know and I don't have to know. Then we find out that they were baptized with the baptism of John. Is that true? Yes, that's certain. Then they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's true. Is it certain that they received the Holy Spirit of God? Absolutely. At the end, what do we recognize? They're truly born again. Uncertainty, God worked so that they could have a certainty about their relationship with Jesus Christ. When did they get saved? I would say before, at least before they were baptized in the name of the Lord, maybe before that. But again, we find the word, God's word, I believe refers to this section, if you will. I see verse 4 as the word of God. All of this is the word, but when Paul was speaking, God's word is profitable for correction. These individuals were ill-informed or uninformed and yet open. When we find examples like these who are very teachable and eager to respond correctly, it'll motivate us all the more to teach them and to share with them. It's a wonderful experience to be able to do that. Their uncertainty was replaced with God's certainty. Salvation, even as some of the young people explained last week, had doubts in their earlier years, but had come to a place of confidence and certainty. How many of us have gone through those in years past? Doubts and wondering. I know as a teenager, and God used his word to give certainty. Aren't you glad Christianity is a know-so relationship rather than a hope-so? John 10 talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall know my voice, and he will hold us in his hand, and the Father will hold us in his hand. There's verse after verse, passage after passage that teaches the certainty of salvation. I think it's good for us in a passage like this to be aware and ready to lead others to certainty. Children that struggle and you know, still young, maybe in time will come to know Christ and maybe have doubts, but others that we see and get to visit with and to be able to lead them to certainty, be familiar with scriptures and how to bring them along. Also, look back at verse 2 with me. We don't know, we're not told what led Paul to ask this question in verse 2. The question is there, and we don't know what led him to say it. He said unto them, "Have you received the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, since you believed?" We could ask that question today, and it might be a little helpful. I mean, do you sense the Spirit of God working in you? But in that time, it made a little more sense. But what led him to say that? It would seem, it stands to reason, he noticed something about these 12 and their beliefs or their behavior that was off. He noticed that. It seems. It seems stands to reason. And we may find someone like that. I remember I've shared with you before about Bill, who came to our church up in Shelburne, said he was saved. He couldn't give a clear testimony. And we sat down and did Bible study together. Week after week, he came prepared. We had great conversations. And on the ninth time meeting together, I sat back in my chair and I said, "Bill, you're saved, aren't you?" It was such a privilege to work with him through, in that case, a lengthy time in the Word. We don't always get the privilege and the joy of doing that. Many times it's a few minutes, sometimes not even with an open Bible. But whenever we can have an open Bible and share with someone, his testimony goes like this. "I got saved when I got cable TV." He worked third shift. After work one night, he sat in his living room and he watched Charles Stanley, heard the gospel, prayed to receive Christ in 1989. Hadn't been in a Bible-believing church because he knew the liberal churches were bad, but he hadn't been in a Bible-believing church until like 2011. But God brought him in and gave him certainty. And we can be sensitive to people like Bill. We can be looking for people like the two ladies that Nick had the joy of sharing Christ with, and lead them from uncertainty to certainty. Ask good questions. One of the things, and it'd be interesting to talk about some of the nuts and bolts of witnessing sometime. But one of the things that is just clear in my mind is I have to know what they believe. I have to know what they think. I want them to know what the Word says, but first I want to know what they think so I can bring the correct passage to bear on their thinking, on their, you know, what they need to believe. Ask good questions where they are and see if you can find out what they're trusting to get to heaven. Take them to the Word. If you can, begin a Bible study in order to have more opportunity for the Word. We find people like this on occasion. It's a joy when we hear about people sharing Christ. May we be sensitive to those who are uncertain and help them to have God's certainty. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this evening. Thank you for the wonderful working, again, in a group of people's lives where they were met by your Word and brought to us assurance of salvation. We ask that you would bless your people as we go our ways and after fellowship this evening. And thank you so much for Nick and Lindsay and their two little ones. We pray for your watch care, for your enablement, for your wisdom in scheduling his week and their time. Lord, may the repairs at home be made and the ministry carry on and good time with family take place. Lord, we thank you for the experiences and the great joy of hearing of two ladies who've come to know you as their Savior. Bless your people, we pray, and we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.